want to welcome everyone in our listening audience today, and we pray that today, as you listen to this message from the Lord and from Psalms 138, verses 1 through 3, that God will be able to speak to you and bless you. The text that we're looking at here in Psalms 138, verse 1 through 3, is talking about prayer, and it's talking about successful prayer. In our text, it reveals to us, I think, as we look through the Psalms, at how David prayed, that he was definitely a man of prayer. In Psalm 65, verse 2, it says, "O thou that hearest prayer." And then in Psalms 102, verse 17, it says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute." And in Psalms 109, verse 4, it says, "I give myself unto prayer." His testimony, I think, in this opening verse that we've read, must have come after God had delivered him from his son Absalom. You know, Absalom tried to usurp the authority of David and to take over his kingdom, and he tried to build up his whole group of people that would support him and dethrone his father. And I know it really, if you read the text, David was very disturbed over that. His prayer is an expression of gratitude for God hearing and answering prayers. It's noteworthy, I think, to know that Psalms was written by David. It's the expression of his heart. It was an expression of him speaking to God as he would be speaking to a friend. And I think that's what God wants from every one of us, to be able to speak to him as a friend. I know there are some times that people are a little uncomfortable in praying. They're not sure what to say. They don't know exactly how to address God. But if we could just remember that God is our nearest friend, our best friend, and we should be able to speak to him as we would speak to a friend, only with reverence and with the honor that is due to God. Part of this text that comes from Psalm 138, verses 1 through 3, is that it says that David said, "When I cried," earnest prayer, as you look at the Bible and how it's recorded there, is often expressed in words like looking, you find that in Mark chapter 7, verse 34, or waiting in Psalms 59, verse 9, calling, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, and seeking in Psalm 63, verse 1. And David said, "When I cried," this is an expression of some sense of urgent need of God to intercede in his life. And I can tell you, friends, that if you don't have a need, if you're not praying to God for the need that you have of his son, Jesus Christ, to be your personal Savior and the sin bearer that he has been called to be, you must have a need for God to be able to intercede for you. An honest, earnest need for God to be able to do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. Sensing our utter dependence upon God is also an expression that you hear coming through in the prayers of Daniel and many other men and women who prayed great prayers throughout the Bible. I want you to look with me, if you will, if you've got your scriptures today. I'd invite you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'd like to begin reading in verse number 3. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at verse 3, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heaven? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. You see, the kingdom of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and by the way, Mount Seir was the children of Esau who lived in Mount Seir. You can see that in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And all three of these kingdoms came together to conquer Israel. And the company of people that was coming against Israel was so great that everybody was fearful. And Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel didn't know how to deal with this great number of people who was coming to destroy them. And they finally realized that their only hope was in God. Listen, friends, we live in a world that has gone absolutely stark, raving, mad, crazy. And it's getting worse every day. And there's confusion everywhere we look. And I can tell you that whenever you have personal relationships with other people and they're gone wild and crazy in that relationship, you can bet on one thing, that when things get so bad and the dynamics are so confusing that you can't sort out the details, you know the devil is in the mix. And you know the devil is stirring the pot. And he's getting things all mixed up. And the thing we have to recognize here is the devil is not your friend or mine. We are his enemies, because we are children of the King. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, it tells us there that the devil is angry at the church. And every Christian around the world today are in a life-threatening conflict with the devil. He is angry with every Christian around the world who has confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And he's doing everything he can to destroy every one of us. And when we feel that the devil is pressing in on us, destroying us, tearing our life apart, we need to do what Jehoshaphat and Israel did. We need to look to God, and we need to realize that this company that has come against us, the devil, it says in the scriptures that the devil is like a roaring lion, able to devour us, and he's able to capture us at will. We have no strength against him. He is stronger and wiser and more experienced in this life than we are. The only hope we have is to turn to God. The only hope that we have is to put our eyes upon Jesus, because that is the source of all help. And our only hope is to look to Jesus. And I believe that when we cry to God, it indicates for us complete confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to hear our prayers. But even beyond just hearing, friends, he has the power and the desire to answer our prayers. He is able to help in a time of need. He is our Boethio, the one who stands alongside of us when life gets really tough. When the devil knocks us down, Jesus is there to pick us up. When we get weak and we stumble, Jesus is there to give us strength. He is our friend. He is our God, our Savior, and our King. And I believe that experience shows that God does hear the prayer of his children. You look in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. This is God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. And in Psalms 138, verses 1 through 3, David himself said that when I cried out, thou answerest me. And listen, friends, life is tough, and it's not going to get any easier until we get to heaven. Life is going to get hard for God's people. And the devil is going to make it so difficult that it's almost impossible for us to survive it. But because Jesus loves you, he's going to cut the days short. And Jesus does know the needs that every one of us have. He understands the pain of death in our families. He understands the difficulties that we face in financial difficulties today. He understands all of the struggles that are going on in the world, all the war, and now the Ebola outbreak that is happening in Africa and starting to spread throughout the world. We see the fulfillment of Matthew 24's prophecies, where Jesus said that there would be wars and rumors of war. There would be pestilence and diseases, and there would be earthquakes and all kinds of tragedies happening around the world. These are just the beginning of the troubles that are going to come upon the world. And it will affect you and I personally. Without our close relationship with Jesus, without having this confidence of knowing that when we cry out to God, He hears our dilemma, He hears our pleading hearts, and He's able to strengthen us, and He's able to answer our prayers. And listen, friends, you need to trust in Jesus. He is the solution for every difficulty that we face in life. No matter what it is, Jesus is able to help. I believe there's a unanimous testimony of every man, woman, and child who has ever trusted in God that God is faithful. Can you say amen to that? God is faithful, friends. I believe that volumes have been written in tribute to the prayer life of God's children. You can see great prayers throughout the Bible. You can see where men and women have trusted in God in facing great difficulties and trials in their life. And David reminds us that in the day that he cried out, God answered him. Instant prayers, answers to prayers, are recorded in different places of the Bible. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 23, Daniel is praying, and while he is praying, God gives an answer and sends Gabriel to him while he was still yet in prayer. An instant answer. Peter was praying in Matthew chapter 14, verses 30 and 31, where he was walking on the water and he cried out to God, "Lord, save me!" And instantly, Jesus came to his knee and saved him. The prayer of the church is recorded in Acts chapter 4, where they had healed a man and they were crying out to God. And they needed an answer very quickly. And God not only brought the healing in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, but it says that they were praying for boldness to preach the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God answered their prayer with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. There are times when the answer to prayer is often delayed. And this is the crux of it right here, friends. This is what really tests our faith in Jesus. Because oftentimes people have said to me that they didn't feel their prayers went any higher than the ceiling. And we need to believe by faith that when we speak to our God, our friend, our Savior, the King of this universe, friends, we need to believe that God hears us and has the ability and the power to answer in His own time and according to His will for your life and mine. And we need to trust God's leadership in answering those prayers, even though it seems like God has not answered, that God doesn't care. God loves you. You don't believe that, do you? God loves you, friends. I want you to take a moment and just think about, look at the cross of Calvary. There is not a greater statement in the world of love. God gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for each one of us. That is the greatest expression of love that the Bible could give to human beings on this earth. That God has not left us destitute and alone. He has promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. And His greatest letter to you and I was when Jesus hung on the cross at Calvary. It was Him expressing His love for us. And anytime you doubt God's love for you, friends, just think about Jesus hanging there on the cross at Jerusalem. Think about what He went through for you. Think about how much love it took for Him to go to that painful crucifixion. There are times when our prayers are not answered exactly the way we want it. There are times when our prayers, there seems to be a long delay. But God knows how to best answer our prayers, and He knows when it is the best time to do that. He knows how to answer them, and according to His will, what is best for each one of us. Delays sometimes, though, are caused by obstacles in the lives of the people that we pray for. It may be some secret sin in our own personal life that is keeping God from answering our prayer. Maybe somebody that we're praying for has some issue that God is wanting them to deal with and take care of through this trouble, through this trial. They are needing to deal with the issue of life that God wants them to deal with. And maybe God is not answering the prayer for them because He's wanting them to deal with the issue first. And sometimes circumstances in the lives of people interfere with what God is wanting to do. We need strength. We need strength from God as His children to be able to bear up to the difficulties of this life. The Lord doesn't always remove all of the difficulties and pressures. It'd be really nice if living here on earth, it was like living in heaven. But that's not life here. That was life at the beginning. And when the devil snuck into the life of Adam and Eve and changed all the plans that God had for the human race, listen, friends, life is bad. And it's getting worse all the time. And unless we have a personal, living, loving relationship with Jesus, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle the guilt of sin. We don't know how to deal with the pressures of life. We don't know how to handle the disappointments. We don't know what to do sometimes with all the things that the devil pours out upon us. And that's why we need Jesus. Because through all the problems, all the troubles, all the trials, God has promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He would be with us to the end of the world. And we have a promise from Jesus that He loves us. And He signed that letter to you and I with His blood at Calvary. We need strength today, friends. We need strength to stand up to all of the confusion that is in our world today. We need the strength of Jesus Christ in our life in a personal, daily, living relationship with Him. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ did not take away the cup from Jesus when He was in the garden, when he was going to the cross at Calvary. God didn't remove Him. He commissioned an angel to come and strengthen Jesus through His time of need and weakness, friends. You look in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, it says there that God sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. And that's the same thing that God will do for you and I. That in times of weakness, in times of trial, in times of hardship, God will send His angels to strengthen us, to give us hope for the future. And God did not remove the difficulty of Paul's life. You look with me in what Paul went through in his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you see that Paul faced some challenges that you and I don't face today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, and once I was stoned, and thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care and the oversight of all of the churches. Paul had a large burden, friends, and he went through a lot of trials. He went through many difficulties of life. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse number 9, it says this, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." This is Jesus speaking to Paul. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, my troubles, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." Now, why would Paul say something like that? When Paul went through the difficulties and disappointments of life, when he had hard times in his life, he felt very weak. He was distressed over all of those things, but not without hope, because he knew that in his weakness, he had somebody who was strong. The God of this universe, the Savior that he loved, the Jesus that he met on the road to Damascus, that's who gave him strength to stand up to all of these troubles. And it is the same Jesus, friends, who will help you through every difficulty that you face today. Every one of us go through troubles. The devil hates you. He hates everything about you. He hates everything that you do. He hates everything that you stand for in the name of Jesus. And he's going to make your life as difficult, as hard, as trying as he possibly can. And he's going to use situations and people to make your life miserable. And in your weakness, when you cry out to God, Jesus will come and he will send his angels to strengthen you. to endure, to bear up to the burden that you face. And we can praise God for that. Our need for strength, friends, we need it to do the will of God at all times. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," you got that? It doesn't say your friend, the devil. It says your adversary, the one who hates us, our enemy. He is the enemy of the kingdom of God. And as long as we claim to be children of the King, a part of that heavenly kingdom, we are enemies of the devil. "And as a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You're not by yourself. We're not alone here. All of those people who trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are going through the difficulties too. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Amen to that. God's strength is what we need today. Strength to endure the afflictions for the cause of God. Strength to endure to the very end, because Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Strength to love when we are hated. Strength to bless when we have been cursed. Strength to live a victorious life in this present sinful world in which the devil is doing all he can to destroy us. Does your prayer life call upon Jesus on a daily basis? Has Jesus been answering your prayers? Has he sent his angels to strengthen you? Today, friends, I implore you, I invite you to come to Jesus, the source of all strength, the source of all hope, the source of all love and goodness. Won't you trust in him today? Pray with me today, please. Dear Heavenly Father, today we come to you with all of the heartache, all the trouble, all the stresses and trials and difficulties that each one of us face. And I pray, Lord, today that you would heal us of the sin-sick souls that each one of us have, that you would give us strength. Send your holy angels to strengthen each one of us today who are struggling in life. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw close to us. Today you would be our Boetheo, the one who stands beside us through these challenging times, the one who strengthens us and gives us hope for the future, who gives us the opportunity to be with you on a daily basis. Today, Lord, we cry out to you, trusting and believing in our heart that you will answer our prayer. And we ask this and trust you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.